Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, due to copyright concerns, we are unable to bring you We Are the Champions by Queen, but we do have one in the house. It is great to start the day with, although I'm not really seeing to the victors go the swords. Where's your championship sword? Or is that, that's only from the Sabre tournament.
That's the Sabres Foundation Sabre tournament.
Alumni tournament, yes.
So well, the trophy.
Congratulations, Marty. And
thank you. Thank you.
Big
win. You play in these events, right? These charity golf tournaments or corporate golf tournaments, and you finish the day at -5, -6, and you're always like, oh, we had a good day. I mean, we made like 4 or 5 birdies, maybe an eagle, and we couldn't putt. That's always the story. Like, oh, we missed a lot of putts out there. We made a ton of putts, Duffer, and we finished 16 under, and I'm like, I always think, that's a scam. These guys are cheaters, the ones that finished 16 under. We did. We won big trophy, a lot of players. You know, tickets was there. Danny Gare just off a surgery that he's not able to golf for a couple of months, but Jason Dupp at Coletta, Lindy Ruff, a lot of guys there. So hot on the golf course at Niagara Falls Country Club, but so nice. We went through a lot of water and Powerade and Coca-Colas and all of that, but a great group of alumni, a fantastic day.
What was your shot of the day?
Shot of the day?
For you.
I made about 30 to 35 footer that was breaking left on... So the par 3 is 18, right? The one with the tennis courts, I believe. So that's the 18. So I made
17,
one.
Maybe.
It's either 17. I made a great putt, and then on 18, I made another great putt. So the 17-18 kind of turn for us was really, really nice. Darren Poopa and I shared a cart. Poop is fit. I love Poop. He's so funny. He was struggling in the last 7 or 8 holes, but he never lost his golf ball. And his golf ball, well, sorry to the Encore Buffalo people or Titleist or Taylor, it was a clear. I don't know what clear the brand name is, but every time he hit it and it went through the woods or through the trees, we'd get the ball, we'd be like, clear, like clear every time. Like it's like we found it, we're clear. And it was so funny. Poops was so funny.
Did he eventually lose a layer or two?
No, he kept the layers on. He was like, "I'm Florida. This is cold here." Like he was great. And I tried to play with a bright yellow ball. It was okay. Then I went to a pumpkin orange ball. That was not good. And then when I went to the white ball, now I was striping. So that was good. Fun day. Great auction afterwards. I was the official auctioneer. Some great prizes. We raised a lot of money for the Buffalo Sabres Alumni Scholarship Fund, which is, given out over $1 million since 1993. Just amazing. And scholarships to kids going into college in Western New York and Southern Ontario. So all in all, a fantastic, fantastic day. Everybody had a blast.
You buried the lead. Somebody had an ace.
Ooh, Jordy Robertson had a hole in one. I don't remember what hole it was, but it wasn't the one with the car or the one with the big prize. So it was one that was the closest to the pin. Well, he put it in the hole. So he got himself 12 golf balls for that. So that was good.
Were they or clear?
I have no idea what they were. It was one of those like gold box or whatnot, like Tim Conley,
probably
longest drive.
Probably Pro V1s, right?
Probably. Yeah. Tim Conley, longest drive, right? He gets a dozen golf balls. Jordy Robertson, hole in one, he gets a dozen golf balls. I feel like it was not really fair.
But you all got T-shirts, and that looks nice too. So
yeah,
that's
we
good.
Got Buffalo alumni T-shirts, golf shirt, and a nice little... Callaway rain jacket. It was fantastic. We got some funky shoes on the golf course, and those that were there will know. It's kind of, I wish I had the brand in the box, so give them a little shout out. But they're kind of like a rubbery kind of Crocs material, but they're actual shoes covered and everything. Golf shoes with spikes and everything.
Oh, wow.
For those that wanted the golf shoes angles. So I got Star Wars one with the little Millennium Falcon.
Are you a Star Wars guy?
I'm a Star Wars geek a little bit. The original one, I can watch them over and over and over again. Yes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a little Millennium Falcons on my shoes now. I'll wear them at a game this year. I'll wear them one time.
So this is amazing. We've had quite a week of things that we have and haven't discussed.
Yes.
Now, you were, in your absence, a major talking point last week with your job fair commercial.
Oh, yeah. We didn't touch that. That was the...
I haven't had a chance to talk about your filming of this, although you'll be happy to know. I think it was my youngest when talking about the video, she's like, is that when Marty lost his keys down the elevator shaft?
Yes, it was.
But the other part of it was, do you remember early last week before you departed and you came on and you had this beautiful fresh haircut and you chose not to wear a ball cap?
Yes.
And you were just out of sorts, like, oh, my hair is a disaster. And now I know what you meant, because there are some shots in that video. I'm like, I don't even recognize you.
The wind blows it off a little bit, and there's the sun in the background that shows a feathery, like, front to my hair. It was long. It was bad. But what, Duffer, you did a great cameo on my phone there, you know, basically waking me up. Hey, you already work here. Come on, Marty, wake up. But
so now you've since got all the jobs from the job fair. You've become an auctioneer for the alumni event. What else are you adding to your repertoire?
I'm a sales rep for Bion Shoes, B-I-I-O-N Shoes are the shoes I was talking about. Thanks to Mike Lisakowski. Mike and Amy were there yesterday, repping the 11-day power play, obviously. So Mike is listening right now. So thank you for giving me the update and the info. So that's what it was. Yeah, I mean, I filled in a lot of roles this summer. A lot of different roles. I can't wait a month from now when I kind of put all my side jobs aside and now it's hockey, hockey, hockey. I feel like I've dabbled in a lot of different things.
Yeah. How much are you getting from NHL Network to show up on a nightly basis?
Well, that was one segment that they cut up in like multiple tweets and multiple social media posts, which was great because we had just talked yesterday. We talked a lot about Luukkonen and Levi and Reimer and whatnot. And then they posted this, what's your confidence level in Luukkonen? And Sabres fans responded with, hi. There was one negative comment. Like, oh, he's only played a second half of a season really good. Like, I have zero confidence. And, you know, everybody else was like, yeah, he's the real deal. And yes, we're so confident in Luukkonen. And so it kind of fitted well that we discussed it on the show yesterday. What's the breakdown going to be like? And NHL Network put that out there. And the Sabres fan responded on social media with a lot of positive comments. I was really happy because that's not usually what happens in social media. You don't see a lot of positive comments, but they came in force yesterday.
Well, that's good. And we appreciate your winning group, you know, paying close attention to your day on our show yesterday, just so they knew exactly when you would be rejoining them and starting the birdie train all over again. So that was nice. I did something yesterday that I think I've done less than five times this year. Do you think you could guess what that is?
Less than five times this year?
I think so. Yeah.
You went rollerblading.
No, but that number is not nearly as high as it should be. And I'm going to
Because you used to do it a lot and I haven't seen you do it as much this year. So I thought maybe rollerblading was the one.
No, this will come as a surprise if my mother was able to listen. So thank goodness she's not right now. But I think like I bought groceries yesterday and I'm like, this never happens. Like I never buy groceries anymore.
Yeah, no.
It's like I'm talking like, you know, two or three bags. I'm like, what am I doing? So that's an odd experience. I don't know whether it's going to help or not, but whatever. Here we are.
You know what? I mean, I love a good trip to the grocery store. I'm always, and you know, now you can order your groceries and do all of that. I'm like, no, I still
I don't even do that.
No. I show up. I like to walk around, look at all the aisles, and then I buy a bunch of things I shouldn't be buying because I don't really need. But hey, you know what? That's what I do. I love a good grocery store. Like people like to go to the market. I went to the market on Saturday morning. And I had to get a few things and, you know, my girls were like, hey, can you grab this from the market? Because they were out of town. At the market, people like to look around and take their time. I went to the market. I went straight where I needed to get something and out. Like, I went to the vendor and out. That's what I did.
Grocery stores. Well, that guy's rude.
Yeah, exactly. Grocery stores, usually people go in and out. They get their things. I walk around the grocery stores. I'm completely reversed from the regular, normal people, but that's what I do. I just walk around the grocery store.
More non-breaking news here on Sabres Live when it comes to Marty's personality traits. All right. So maybe then my habits, or lack thereof, when it comes to shopping, tie in with today's team of the day. Because Lou didn't do a lot of shopping this offseason. The New York Islanders are, in fact, the New York Islanders. Now, let me give you an overview. I mean, they have a pretty large group of people that are under contract forever.
Yes.
I use forever in quotations of like four more years. Your Barzals and Horvats and Engvalls and Pulleks and Pellets and Mayfields and Sorokins, right? And you're going to add Noah Dobson to that list pretty soon. Mm-hmm. You've also got a pretty good group that's there for three or more years, like Duclair now. That was their big purchase. Cizikas, Varlamov, McLean. They are going into their final years of Nelson and Palmieri. I will go on record now and saying this will be their final years as New York Islanders. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have two more from the captain, Anders Lee. They have a first full year for Patrick Waugh behind the bench.
Yes.
The Islanders have made the playoffs 5 out of 6 years, which few would believe because very few give them much respect for doing so. Mm-hmm. They've made the playoffs 8 of the last 12. But Marty, they could go down in history as the most non-playoff team of all time. They were 22nd in goals for last year, 18th in goals against, 19th on the power play, and unbelievably pathetic
last
71%, 32nd on the PK.
Last on the PK.
Was top 16 and made the NHL playoffs.
In a team that's supposed to be a defensive team with great goaltending and all of that. And the goaltenders were actually not bad.
Okay.
Like their numbers 910, 918, 909, whatever. Like Sorokin had a drop in numbers. Varlamov had a played above expectation last year.
Yeah.
But you look at the noise that was made around the goaltending because Patrick Ross at Sorokin wasn't making enough save. And all of a sudden you have Varlamov going in, playoffs and everything. And you're thinking, well, what's going on over there? Mm-hmm. But you look at the numbers for the team. They were awful, awful numbers for the team. They were 15th overall, which is good enough. You're middle of the road. You make the playoffs, whatever. But it's just bad for the New York Islanders. Now,
but it's not, though, right? Because they keep making the playoffs. So why are we fixated on the bad here?
It's funny because we've talked about the Washington Capitals, who was the worst of the playoff teams.
Yeah.
And they were way worse than the New York Islanders when you look at all the numbers and the minus 30 plus goal differential and everything. Okay, being negative on the Washington Capitals is okay because they were the worst. The New York Islanders were respectable. If you played a 7-game series against the Islanders and you say, oh, you know what? This could be a hard 7-game series. It wasn't a gimme that the Islanders were going to lose in the first round like Washington were. But you look around and you say, what is a number that blows your mind? 5-on-5, they scored 166 goals 5-on-5 this year. That was 20th in the league. Well, they gave up 158. That was 10th in the league. But that's just +8. They were +8 goal differential 5-on-5 this year. Their special team was awful. Like there was nothing with the New York Islanders other than they made a coach change, which did not spike their production. Lane Lambert was +4 after 44 games, and Patrick Waugh was +8 with 37 games, right? So that's really what it was. But the numbers were pretty much the same. Everything stayed the same. They just are the New York Islanders. It's very, very blah.
But they're a playoff team. So what is it about them and their construction that makes people go, meh, as opposed to, keep an eye on the Islanders. Like, they're always in the playoffs. They're going to do something at some point. They've been there 5 of 6 years. Before COVID, they were in, conference final. So, what is it and what would need to change to tweak people's perception of this first full season under Patrick Waugh?
Well, I think what the fan base or hockey fans around, we're kind of sick and tired of the, oh, we have the Casey Cizikas, Cal Clutterbuck, Matt Martin, right? That was always the big thing with the New York Islanders. We have the best fourth line in the league or whatnot. Well, this year it's going to be different because
maybe,
you know, Clutterbuck, maybe. That's why I put a Duffer. I put a question mark, you know, key departures, Cal Clutterbuck, Matt Martin. And then I went into reading some articles this morning that says, well, they're not closing the door on the New York Islanders having Cal Clutterbuck and Matt Martin. Who was it? Was it Anders Leo Bruck Nelson? One of the guys had one of their charity events a couple of weeks back, and then Matt Martin at his fantasy camp or his hockey camp last week. So a lot of articles were written. They're like, you know what? They're the best teammates. They make this room. They make the Islanders. They're true Islanders. I'm like, that's why, because you associate the New York Islanders to Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck and Casey Cizikas.
Yeah.
Where you should look at the New York Islanders and say, Matt Barzal, how exciting is Matt Barzal? He's one of the most exciting players in the
80
National
points
Hockey
last year.
80 points last year,
yeah.
Noah Dobson, one of the most exciting defensemen.
Seventh
in
defense
league.
Scoring.
70 points last year. How about Bruck Nelson, 34 goals last year. I mean, Bruck
Nelson. Three 30-goal scorers.
In Bo Horvat and Kyle Palmieri. You're like,
yes.
You would never have guessed that. I think our focus when it comes to the New York Islanders is in the wrong direction.
Right. And perhaps because things don't change often, which is how I launched into them. And it's not likely to change a lot moving forward with all of those lengthy term contracts that they're committed to. But the general manager clearly likes it, and he's seen playoffs in 5 of 6 years. Let's not forget they've welcomed themselves into a new building in that time. So it's important to get to the postseason, but they haven't been able to really make extended runs here. Is it, I mean, now that Boston has broken up the tandem of Ullmark and Swayman, if you were pressed in a dire situation, knowing that not every goalie in the league is healthy, and you're given two options from one team, like, okay, I don't know if anybody at this position is healthy, but I can take one tandem right now to try to win a playoff game. Do the Islanders have the best tandem?
I would think the Islanders... Yeah, I would put their tandem up there as one of the best. I think that depending on how Spencer Knight is going to play this year with the Florida Panthers, I think that Bobrovsky-Spencer Knight could be really good as well, but it's not as proven as Sorokin and Varlamov. Jonathan Quick, Igor Shesterkin last year was really good. Even that, like Jonathan Quick had a really good go, but if you're in the playoffs, there's a drop-off between Shesterkin and Quick. There's not as big a drop-off between Sorokin and Varlamov. I think so. I think that's probably the best tandem. There's a couple of teams that come close, but the Islanders, you know, it's funny because I always complain, why don't we get the starting goalie? Why, like, coaches are, we're not going to tell who our starting goalie is, or we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that. If you're the New York Islanders and you're playing against the Islanders, it doesn't matter if Sorokin or Varlamov is net. They're basically going to give you the same, the same play. Sorokin is a tad better, yeah, but you're going to get the same play.
But Sorokin should be, shouldn't he, getting more of the games? Like, a lot more? And what has happened here in their last couple of playoff appearances is Sorokin has only had 12 decisions in the last three playoffs. Varlamov has played 19 of those games, has 18 decisions. So over this extended run, and most recently, Sorokin is 6-6 in the playoffs and Varley's 8-10. But when Waugh said what he said about Sorokin needing more saves from basically mid-March on, Varlamov ended up going 8-1-1 down the stretch in the regular season. Now, Sorokin went 3-6-1. However, his final four of the regular season, the launching pad to get himself right for the playoffs, he went 3-0-1. His numbers were really good. He got one of the five playoff games against Carolina.
Yeah.
And obviously lost it. So
and it was like you knew strange, that huh? As soon as there was a, you know, as soon as something happened, you lose, Sorokin is out. And Patrick Waugh, look, he comes in. He has a history with Semyon Varlamov from the Colorado days, likes him, comes in, and then maybe Varlamov feels comfortable with his head coach, communication, whatever. But when Lane Lambert was the coach, Varlamov had 13 starts to Sorokin's 32. So basically 3 out of 4 games were Sorokin's game. And then when when Patrick came in, Varlamov played had 14 starts to Sorokin's 23. Mm-hmm. So I know that it doesn't look like much, but when you go, you play 3 out of 4, then all of a sudden you only play 2 out of 3. And all of a sudden down the stretch, you like look at your guy and he's 8-1-1 and you're like, oh, that's not going to, I think there is a storyline in New York with the goaltending there. They are paying Sorokin a ton of money and like he's making what? 8.25.
They were
8.25. Yeah. For a long time.
One of the few teams in the cap era to have and be paying a star number one, but simultaneously hitch their ride long-term to that person's number two. And the Islanders did that with Varley at a time when everybody thought, well, he'll move on. Like he has to, right? And it's like, he didn't have to. He likes New York. Took almost $3 million a year.
Exactly.
Over 4 years. And guess what? He's still literally fighting for the crease and getting time. So.
And him and Sorokin are best buds, right? And they really get along. And that's a unique situation when you are a goalie. I remember sitting on the bench sometimes thinking, man, if Miller could lose a game once in a while, I'd get in. But I don't want him to lose. But you're starting to think it. You're like, hey, if he could suck tonight and we would win 7-6, that would be great. Like, that would be the ultimate, you know, situation. I get it. People are going to say, what? But it crosses your mind. Mm-hmm. You could be best friends with the guy, but you want to play. You don't want to sit on the bench. Now, Varlamov is 36 and had a 4-year deal at almost $3 million. He's like, thank you very much. I'm good. Sorokin, he's 29. He's got his long 8-year deal that starts this year at 8.25. They're spending $11 million on goaltenders. So you better get better numbers, right? Sorokin last year was just average, in my opinion, took a step back. Better step back up forward. But that, you know, that situation with Patrick Roy coming in, it will be interesting to see where the confidence level is with Sorokin and Varlamov and where does the needle, you know, stop in between.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of ways to look at it. You know, from the soap opera standpoint, which it probably isn't between the two guys, because you say they're really good friends. But if it turns out that it ends up being like a 45-37 split in favor of Sorokin, you're going to have people wanting to make something big of that. However, they have Varley there for years for a reason. And like,
and so even if it takes your deal, if you don't play him 60-60-60-60, he may be better longer, like on long term.
Right. So isn't that interesting where if the workload isn't astronomical for Sorokin in the first years of this big extension, which is, it's just so counter to how we think about sports, right? If you're ponying up the money and the term, this person needs to be everyday first, second, or third star, right? That's just how we think. But they may have a different plan of attack here based on everything you just laid out and Waugh's understanding and or thoughts about the abilities of these two guys.
The unique situation that presents the crease of the New York Islanders last season is that every single minute of the season, but one period.
Ken Appleby
played 20 minutes of hockey. That is a rare feat in the National Hockey League now that you will go Sorokin, Varlamov every single minute but 20 in the regular season. I mean, there's teams that use three goalies within the first 10 games of the year. four goalies, five goalies, and the Islanders at Sorokin and Varlamov. So your $11 million is well spent because you have consistency, you've had to, you've had durability, and you seem to be getting, you know, play. And when you got a guy that's 909 save percentage in Sorokin, 918 in Varlamov, you know, the Sorokin goals against average numbers last year of 301 was higher. But it's not just on Sorokin. It's on the team and their penalty kill and their defense that was not as good as it should have been.
Sabres Islanders season series. Marty will have the details on that ahead. We have money coming off the books for the Islanders at the end of this year. What might they look like moving forward? Is there, in fact, other NHL news to speak of? And does it pertain to the Sabres? I'm not sure. FanFest, though, is fast approaching.
We're trying to confirm.
Coca-Cola Zero Sugar presents it, and it is nothing but fun. We've got games and skills challenges, player appearances, autographs. It runs, of course, in conjunction with Hockey Fest, the street hockey tournament that happens on RJ Way. It's Saturday, September 14th in Alumni Plaza, sabres.com/fanfest. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
With more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Islanders are the team of the day here on Sabres Live. Welcome back to the show. We'll have maybe some Sabres news a little bit later on. You seem to raise an eyebrow when I suggested that I'm guaranteeing that Nelson and Palmieri, two of the Islanders' 30 goal scorers from last year, the three that they had, I said this will be their final year with New York. They are both unrestricted at the end of the year. That'll free up $11 million if they are not on the team. Of course, that could cost them an awful lot of goals if they're not on the team moving forward. What do we think about the futures of those two?
So I did raise an eyebrows because I'm thinking, well, how are they going to replace those guys, right? How are they going to replace Palmieri and Brock Nelson? And it's not like they are 37 or 38 year olds. They're 32 and 33. It's still a little older. You're not gonna give him 4, 5, 6 year deal. Although, never know with Lou Lamoriello. Sometimes he really I don't know the word that I want to use, but he will, if he likes you, he will always take care of you. And Brock Nelson, Cal Palmieri, Palmieri back from, you know, Jersey, many years before New Jersey, they will work together. So, look, this year, there's a couple of players that I'm interested in when it comes to the New York Islanders. One is this Maxim Tsiplikov. No relations to the late Sabre Vladimir Tsiplikov, but Maxim Tsiplikov, 25 years old, comes in having signed basically a free agent deal with the New York Islanders at the end of the season, was in the KHL. Right now, they've got him kind of playing top 6 minutes. Like, if you look at all the projections and you see where that's going to be, Tsiplikov is playing top 6 forward minutes. So we'll see if he can have production. Is Anthony Duclair going to be able to fill in, you know, some of that production? He's got a 4-year deal. So that needs, if those guys come in, if Oliver Wahlstrom, Simon Holmstrom, if these guys come in and can produce, you can walk away from maybe both, but I would think maybe just one of Nelson or Palmieri. But if nobody else is produced, you're going to have to keep the players that are getting you at least some production. And Palmieri with 30 goals last year, he's getting you still production.
Right. You've got Endersley for a couple more. I think Wahlstrom is most likely to be moved on.
Yes. I always liked him. Always liked him, but it never really fit in New York.
Yeah. So, I mean, so that's, and part of, obviously, part of the reason are going to net significant returns at the trade deadline.
Yes. Which, like, should be.
I mean, Brock Nelson is one of the most consistent goal scorers in the game. And we talk about this, like, over the last 3 years. Just go look at the list and the company he keeps in his production. Like, it's impressive. And there's not a lot of wavering in Brock's game, right? So
neither is wavering in Cal Palmieri. Is he the fastest? No. Can he play top 6 Minutes? Yeah, because he can still score. Can he play third line minutes? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If he's like, that means I'm growing a beard and I'm making the playoffs, because he doesn't have the beard with the New York Islanders now. Absolutely. Cal Palmieri is going to be one that's going to be in demand if the Islanders are not in the playoff spot. But, you know, you look at last year, the Sabres, when they played the Islanders, they lost the first game of the season. But then they almost shut out the Islanders in the two games after that, the two games in Buffalo. Eric Comrie almost had a shutout
late. Unfortunate own goal.
Own goal by Connor Clifton, went off of Clifton and in. And then UPL had a shutout late in the season against the Islanders. Mm-hmm. At that time, when UPL shut out the Islanders, that was in March 14th.
Yeah.
From January 1st until March 14th, UPL was first in goals against average, first in save percentage, first in shutout, and third in wins. Again, like if people are saying, oh, UPL, we don't feel comfortable. Hey, mid-March, in 2.5 months, he was first, and third in the NHL in the most, you know, significant stats department. Like, that's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. And yet the Islanders were somehow able to just edge their way in. They finished 15th overall. And here's my final fun stats on the Islanders, our team of the day. They had 21 victories by one goal last year. That is what you think of with the Islanders. Oh, they play so many close games, right?
Yep.
Only Dallas and the New York Rangers had more wins in one goal games. Mm-hmm. So that's the proverbial feather in their lap. They were also third best in the league in first period goal differential.
Yeah.
Remember, this was a huge storyline for the Sabres, not getting out of the blocks
minus
quickly.
-700.
The Islanders were plus 23, and because their goaltending is good enough, they were negative in every period, including overtimes after that. But they still were good enough out of the blocks in games to get them to the playoffs. They were so bad, in fact, later in games, and so infrequently found themselves in a position to put teams away or were unable to do so. Marty, they scored 5 empty net goals last year. Only the San Jose Sharks scored fewer empty netters than the Islanders. They just were not a team. So these are things that your mind kind of plays tricks with you or whatever, right? Like
the San Jose Sharks had 19 wins and the Islanders had 20 more wins and they just got the same amount of empty net goals.
And it's exactly what brings the Islanders down in the conversation that we spoke of right off the hop. They're not exciting. You know, I know we joke about empty netters, but they are important. But if you had a whole bunch more 4-2 and 5-3 wins on your register, your mind keeps thinking, oh, the Islanders score a lot. Like, they're blasting teams, right? It's just not their reality. And that's why they were so touch and go to make the playoffs under Patrick Waugh.
Yeah, so funny enough, last year in the 3 games the Sabres played them, game 1, it was a very, very low high danger. Like, there was first period was the chances were 3-1. Like, that was the type of game. The Sabres lose on a game-winning goal where they challenge for offside, and it's old, like, you carry the puck over the blue line. When do you have control? Do you have possession?
Was that or when was the kicking motion one? The season before,
the season
at the end
before,
of the year?
Hudson Fashing with the soccer goal, right? So soccer player of the year. So, but anyway, that was that. And you know who scored a goal? The second game of the season, it was late October, the 21st, a game in Buffalo. Sabres win 3-1. And Matthias Samuelsson scored a goal, his first of the year. So why does he have a goal song for those moments when Matthias scores a goal? And I look back at some of the highlights and I'm thinking, okay, now again, with Matthias in the lineup, healthy this year, hopefully playing a full season, that makes a difference if he's there and he's scoring 1 or 2 goals. But that's not about that. It's about his presence on the ice and what else he can do.
So where are the Islanders going to finish?
The Islanders are going to miss the playoffs this year.
Okay.
The Islanders are going to be out of the playoffs. I think that you put Carolina, the Rangers, and the New Jersey Devils ahead of them in the Metro, and they're probably fourth. Maybe Pittsburgh, Washington are still like kind of trying to get there. So they're going to miss the playoffs. I say the Sabres are going to go 2-1 in the three games against the Islanders. Sabres play at Buffalo November 1st, at Long Island November 30th, and December 23rd. By Christmas, we are done with the New York Islanders. How about this Christmas present? We're not going to get them in the second half of the year. But the Sabres will go 2-1, which makes me...
When is the last one?
December 23rd.
Probably be a little late to work that into our Christmas gift exchange.
Like, we're done with the Islanders.
Yeah. But here's the thing. If the Sabres win...
It is in Long Island, so that will be a studio game. So we're going to have to do the Christmas gift exchange on the 23rd this year.
If the Sabres win all three against the Islanders, I'm going to have all three box scores laminated and framed, and that'll fit nicely in your alumni case from your tour of New York State. Yeah. So yes, you'll have
it. Thank you. I will accept that as a present. I will love it.
Sabres went 2-1
last year, and they are going to go 2-1 against the Islanders again this year. I'm going to give the Islanders one game, which puts my total after 45 games at 24-17-6, 54 points after 45 games, plus 9.
Oh. There's no way I'm topping last year in the Christmas gift exchange. And incredibly, the Stifler's Mom band that we went to see, and those were the tickets that I gave you for Christmas, they are Islanders fans.
You're right.
They are diehard Islanders fans.
You gave me a present last week at the Rochester Americans golf tournament, and that bag of chips didn't even last a return trip home to Buffalo.
They're pretty good, huh?
What were they, the no-name brand from
Canada.
Oh, they were good. It didn't make the trip. I devoured that bag.
I am nothing in my decades of life experience than a chip connoisseur. and those ones are pretty darn good. They had your name written all over it. Okay. Yeah. Islanders, put them in the rear view. From a Sabres standpoint, don't believe everything you read. Is that today's news?
Yeah, that's a good Tuesday headline. Do not believe everything you read and see.
Objects in mirror are larger than they appear when looking at Philip Zadina's plus minus?
Closer than they appear.
So what's the deal? Zadina's in the rumor mill. He's had a very unsuccessful NHL career as a former first-round pick of the Red Wings. And there was a report that suggests Buffalo may want to PTO this player?
A report out of Slovakia that said that Zadina had signed a professional tryout with the Buffalo Sabres to come into camp. That was quickly dismissed by many, many people saying that no. And his agent, Lance Osowski, wrote on social media that his agent actually, no, that's not true. He's not going to Buffalo on a PTO. He's actually in talks with teams for a contract. This is a player that in San Jose last year still produced okay. He had, over a dozen goals and, you know, close to 30 points. If he had signed a PTO to come to Buffalo, I'm thinking, well, that may not bode well for Peyton Krebs in his contract negotiation. If they feel they need to bring a guy that could play a fourth line role and produce 25 to 30 points. It's been dismissed and we'll see what happens. But I always liked the first season with the Red Wings, Zadina. I thought, wow, 20 some points in 30 some games. I'm thinking this is a guy that we got, and it didn't pan out. But he's only 24 years old. So if he comes to a tryout to Buffalo, if that happens or he signs a contract with somebody else, I'll keep an eye on him just because I think this could be the turning point at 24 to say, are you an NHL player or are you going to go back and play in Europe?
Well, you were citing Lance Lysowski's report on Twitter, and it was kind of funny how the news that you missed at the end of last week in your absence and how jovial I was to get from producer Jeff a little Lance blast on the old X machine right as we were signing off. And he was right, because I have confirmed it and messaged with this person that our Nashville draft buddy and former Sabre Justin Falk has joined the organization on the scouting side. And
the Sabres organization?
Yes.
Nice. So Justin Falk. Yes. I got to play with him in New York with the Rangers. Right. And then he was here in Buffalo. So I love him. Great guy.
Yeah, so we had a great run-in with him in Nashville. He just about broke my back because he gave me a rather large embrace, and he's a large man to begin with.
Not Adam Creighton large, but he's still large.
I've never hugged Adam Creighton, though, so I can't. Maybe I need to get back. And I need to get on a Creighton winning team at the Sabres Alumni Challenge is what I need to do. So, yeah. Anyway, great stuff with Justin Falk. He's excited to be back in the organization. We're excited to be back after this on Sabres Live.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Because we're always 1 degree removed from Yaroslav Askarov. Happy birthday, Troy Grosnick, who was his battery mate in Milwaukee last year. And when Askarov didn't finish the playoffs, Grosnick got all the games down the stretch against the red-hot Coachella Valley. Grosnick's 35. The Predators treated him well. He's been a fun story late in his career as a professional netminder. What else?
Cody Hudson was at the golf tournament yesterday. So, you know what? I talked to him. I'm like, dude, way to give us a heads up last year. We have you on the broadcast. 2 weeks later, you're playing for Milwaukee. What that? He goes, I couldn't tell anybody. I didn't know. I didn't want to make a big deal out of it. I just wanted to see if I could do it. And I did it. Now he's done. He's like, I'm done. I would have regretted not trying it. But then what do I ask him about? How good is Askarov? Because I've been on the record saying, I'm not sure. I don't know if he's that good. Maybe it's all the colorful, like, bench pressing the net and, you know, everything that he does. I'm not sure if he's that good. And he goes, he gets a little distracted. That's what Cody said. He gets a little distracted when he's dialed in. Oh, he's so good. Like, he's so hard to beat when he's dialed in, but he's got to keep his focus on. So it's great to see Cody Hudson and mentioning that, hey, we kept up with you every time when you got that goal, we're like, yes, let's show it on the broadcast. So it was awesome.
Greater future, Askarov or Oasis?
Askarov, future. I think the past, Oasis had a great past. They were awesome.
Now they're coming back and they're going to.
This or that, Liam or Noel. Are you like, do we have to have T-shirts for the Gallagher brothers there?
Yes, but they're both going to make way more money than Askarov. All due respect. See you tomorrow.